You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur, Strategies for Success. Womenpreneur podcast is for you, my bold and fearless entrepreneurs, to take that next step in your life. Maybe you're hesitant to start your first business, or maybe you already have and want more people on your email list, or maybe you have your six-figure business and want to elevate it to the next level. We are here for you. To give you the tools, tips, and strategies to do it, and to do it so you can have the freedom of time and money. Today, I would love to extend you an invitation to join our private Facebook group, Womenpreneur Success, where we talk about everything from marketing, branding, sales funnels, and automation. Just go on our website, www.womenpreneursuccess.com, and there's a button right on top that says, pull out all the stops. So click on that and type in your email address and I'll pop in an invitation over to you so that you can join the party and learn some really cool things to propel your business forward. Today, we are totally rocking it with Shola Abidoye. I had so much fun with Shola and she's a powerhouse of value and energy. Shola is the co-founder and chief revenue officer of ConvertPort. She has grown three businesses by 10,000% in 5 years, and many of the firm's clients are market-leading business owners who are also New York Times, USA Today, and Amazon.com best-selling experts. Her first venture in the digital space was acquired by a B2B online lead generation company in 2015. A proud native Washingtonian of American and Nigerian descent, she lives between DC, Europe, and the sunny Mexican Riviera, where she supports a local nonprofit. Her mission is to support our country's intergenerational transfer of wealth and knowledge as more baby boomers owned private businesses come on the market. And when I had this interview with her, she was in the Mexican Riviera and I was totally jealous. But I had a really great time with Shola. She has a lot of energy and she wants to give so much to her tribe, and you'll get to hear that today. Shola leaves us with a lot of strategies that we can implement in our business right away. I find her perspective about success very refreshing. She says to play to your strengths, know what you are good at and align your business in that direction. Then you will not be fighting against the competition, but rise above it. Also, fundamentally knowing and practically utilizing the difference between marketing and sales in terms of lead generation and lead conversion can change the way you approach and convert your customers. And I'm totally reserving some time on my calendar after this conversation for me, some me time on my calendar. And you'll hear more about this in our conversation. So, are you ready to rock and roll it today with Miss Fantastic Shola Abidoye? Hi, Shola. How are you doing today?
I'm doing incredibly well. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I am just super charged up and excited to talk to you in our, 2-minute conversation that we had. I'm like, oh, my God, wait, let me just turn the mic on and let's just get this show on the road.
Yeah, in fact, we should warn everyone now. They might want to pull over if they're in traffic and just
That's right.
And listen, if you're at the gym now, you just want to move to the side and don't look at the television and just listen to this podcast. So.
That's right. And exactly. And if you're listening on your computer, just stop everything.
Exactly. Close some of those Chrome tabs that you have open and just listen to this. So.
That's right. I love it. So, Shola, I'm going to get right into it because you just have so much to offer. You're doing some amazing things with your ConvertPort. I want to start with the basics. Tell me,
What do you think? I mean, there are so many women out there, and I'm sure you can build in your journey into this too. Why is it that women fail to understand the difference between marketing and sales? Or what is it that we need to understand about it that we're missing?
Well, I think that's a very important question that you asked, and let's just think about it for a little, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't give it some perspective. So imagine when all of us decided to become an entrepreneur. Like, no one sent us a really nice care package from Amazon with a list of books or a book entitled Entrepreneurship for Dummies. Like, these are the top 10 things that you need to know to be an entrepreneur. So the first thing we have to understand is that being an entrepreneur, a professional entrepreneur, and I define professionalism as being able to deliver consistent, high-performing results, okay? And when we decide to become entrepreneurs, unlike being an investment banker or a neurosurgeon or engineer or, to some extent, even a mother, right? Like, you learn how to be a mother, for those of you all who are, you know, either human moms or pet moms, right? Like, you learn how to be a particular profession from teachers. Well, the thing is that most of us, when we decided to become entrepreneurs, there was no curriculum that we were sent that told us, okay, these are the things that you absolutely need to learn, okay? So obviously, through experience, one learns that if one's going to run a business, one has to generate revenue. But no one sits us down and says, okay, like, this is the exact 7-step process you need in order to generate revenue on a consistent basis. You see, I have something that I share with everyone that I speak to about the issue of generating revenue. If you're going to be a successful entrepreneur, then simultaneously you have to be a professional revenue generator, right? You have to consistently generate revenue on a day-by-day, month-by-month, year-by-year basis. And the first thing is understanding that marketing is about generating awareness, okay, lead generation, and sales is about lead conversion. So oftentimes we hear people talking about marketing when they're really talking about sales, or they're talking about sales when they're really talking about marketing. So if your listeners can walk away understanding that there's a awareness to be quite granular, getting X number of people to a checkout page where they're going to pay you over the internet if you run an internet-based business. And then sales, which is, okay, now that I've gotten 100 people to get to the checkout page, how can I get X amount of them to convert to sales, okay? So lead conversion. And so you might have people in the audience who think that they have a marketing problem because they have a blog where they have some kind of audience and they're not generating sales, and they don't get the fact that, no, they don't have a marketing problem, right? Because they've generated awareness or visibility. What they really have is a sales problem because they haven't generated conversions. So I'm so delighted that you asked that question, because I think that your listeners now will really get the fact that they have to make a distinction between marketing and sales. And even when you understand that, you'll sit back and say, okay, I've read like 100 blog posts in the past year about marketing, and I'm still not getting the sales that I want. Well, how many books or how many seminars have you actually taken on sales, okay? Or how many sales consultants have you hired? So that's just a unique way of thinking about a serious problem, which is, how do you generate consistent revenue in your business?
Right. That's amazing. That's right. Because I have fallen into that trap myself. You know, I think sometimes we don't think it distinctively, and we tend to think lead generation is the same as lead conversion.
Absolutely.
And we jump straight into the lead conversion. So we're like, wait, you know, people are not coming, and whoever one or two is coming, I'm going directly into, okay, let's convert you.
Exactly.
So I think that that little distinctive process of, you know, getting the person first on your blog and then nurturing that relationship to get into the lead conversion, I think it totally, yes, that's a great distinction. Tell me, how did you become an entrepreneur?
Well, I think, just to give you some background, I'm a proud native Washingtonian, and my colorful name comes from my dad, who immigrated from Nigeria to study engineering at George Washington University. So both my parents, even though they were professionals, they're retired now, were also entrepreneurs. So I really grew up understanding that my path to really self-actualization or personal freedom would come through school and entrepreneurship, right? Like, I knew that I needed to go to school, and I enjoyed school, but I also knew that at some point, I guess because you look at what you witness in the home, I would become an entrepreneur. And I always, you know, I had two older brothers who I tell people in retrospect, they were card carrying feminists. Like they believe that you can do it. Like there's no, okay, girls do this, boys do that. Mm-hmm. Like my brother who was really, unfortunately he's passed away now, but he had a major impact on my life. And he was a black belt in karate. And I was like 7. He was like, okay, show me your roundhouse kick. And I was like, I just want to watch cartoons. He's like, no, you know, show me the roundhouse kick. So as a result, I was able to go into traditionally male dominated fields without any fear, because I had that belief instilled in me at a young age that, yeah, like you can do it. Like you don't have to look at an audience of faces that don't look like you and say that you can't do it. So that was, I have to give homage to, some really important people in my life, because who knew that the little things that they would do for me as a child would inevitably lead to me being a successful entrepreneur. And if you can't take rejection, if you don't have a thick skin, you can't be an entrepreneur. And I think a lot of women, we are not socialized, even, you know, across different cultures. Like we're not socialized to, number one, and give ourselves permission to have exactly what we want, number one, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. And then number two, like we're not socialized to hear rejection and not take it personally. So I think that in retrospect, all those things coalescing made it almost inevitable for me to be an entrepreneur. And like many of you all, I'm not quite where I want to be, but you know, I'm dead set on making sure it happens. And I'm even more excited about helping other people get there as well.
I'm getting to that thick skin. I was like, I would get one negative comment, or not even negative, but even like a little, I think recently there was somebody who said, you know, I have an accent. So they were like, it was something to do with my accent. And I was like, wait, that's what makes me unique.
Exactly.
You know, it took me a minute to change my mindset from, oh my gosh, people don't like it, or this and this and this, and, you know, to go from, you know, down to the dumps. I was like, yeah, no, this is not going to happen. I'm just, you know what? That's what makes me unique. That's where my experience comes in. So you want to know where all I've been?
Exactly.
You know, I think it's so right. I think that thick skin is just a mindset shift that you have to have in your own mind. And I think that really, you know, like you said, it takes you to the next level.
And I just want to acknowledge the work that you're doing with your show. You know, it just takes more people standing up. And I mean, there's not one, microscopic unit of flattery there. Like, I really mean it.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I think that, yeah, like more people who stand up and they decide, I'm just going to do this, will give other generations, women and men, more courage to really follow their dreams. I mean, it sounds wildly trout, like, oh, follow your dreams, but actually we can empower other people to do it. So I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing as well.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm like you, I totally believe in it. Awesome. So, tell me, so we talked about the difference between marketing and sales. Great. So now we have crossed that first step. Now, lead generation. There are so many blogs and so many things out there. How do you differentiate yourself? How is it that, I'm sure there are more than one ways to organically grow your list or organically grow your following. Do you have any tips on that? How does one go about doing that?
Well, I'm going to offer an insight, which is wildly different than what most people talk about. And just to, again, acknowledge someone who's been very helpful to me seeing things differently. Richard Koch, the author of the book 80-20, well, 80-20 principle, 80-20 living. He has a model that I live by, which is that whenever you're trying to do something, you need to ask yourself two questions. Does it promise more with less? And is it unconventional? And if those two boxes aren't checked off, okay, you need to skip it, right? So the first thing is that just by what I'm about to tell you, you're going to start to see things a little differently, which is number one, nobody can write a blog post and tell you, oh, this XYZ lead generation strategy is going to work perfectly for you. Why? Because we're all individual, right? So step one is, I think everyone should take an assessment test. There's a test called the Strengths Finder. There's another test by Perry Marshall called Marketing DNA. There's a test called Wealth Dynamics. It really doesn't matter which one you take. although it's best to take one. It's, you know, been around for a while. And what's going to happen is that that test is going to tell you, okay, of the sea of things you could be doing every day, okay, what are the things that you just get great results with easily? And what are the things that come really hard to you? And then what you want to do is that you want to play to your strengths. You see, for a long time, I used to believe that winning was about being better than my competitors. Until I realized that winning is as much about the game that you decide to play and playing against people who you know you can beat, right? So the thing is that if you focus on a lead generation strategy that naturally plays to your strengths, then you're going to get so much further faster. So here's a great example. If you are a great conversationalist, if you're a great conversationalist, you don't need to be blogging, right? Because you just naturally converse with people and that you draw people in and you get their attention. Don't force yourself to do what many people tell you out there, oh, which is just sit down and be a discipline about writing a blog post today. You shouldn't even be doing that. Similarly, if you're not a writer, if you are kind of like a geeky numbers kind of gal like me, you could really excel maybe at media buying, right? Because it's all numbers and statistics and some copywriting. So why would you force yourself to blog or podcast or speak at live events or, you know, make a laundry list of all the popular lead generation tactics? Find out what you're really good at and then play to your strengths. And then what'll happen is that, first of all, you'll do more of it, right? Because we all tend to do more, want to do more of what we're good at because there's a feedback loop, right? We do it, we get results, and we like it, and we do more of it. And then you'll be able to establish what we all know of as a USP, like a unique selling proposition. So the one thing that I can tell people that isn't being talked about loudly, perhaps it's whispered, but it's not being talked about loudly, which is play to your strengths. In order to play to your strengths, you have to figure out what they are. And then once you figure out what they are, then you can build a lead generation, a lead conversion, a product development. All your business should be aligned around what you do quite naturally that is really difficult for people, right? Because the thing is that you can't stand out in a business if you don't do something better than your competitors. So I hope that adds some insight to the question.
Absolutely, it does. I completely agree with that, play to your strengths. But let me ask you on the flip side of it. In today's day and age, it is very important to be in front of your customer. And they may be on Facebook or Instagram or, you know, this and this, or maybe they're not listening to podcasts. At one point, there is a limit to how many channels you can be on, for sure. But do you think that our audience can somehow use their strengths and leverage the mediums that maybe they're not good at?
Well, I think that here's the challenge. There's a really great book called Rate Fire Aim, and it puts forth this thesis, which is that if you think of businesses as human beings, like the first $0 to $1 million is your infancy, right? And then maybe $1 to $10 million is adolescence, and then $100+ million is adulthood. So when you're still a child, you don't have the same priorities that you would have if you are an adolescent or an adult. So if you imagine we were a public health specialist, we would be sitting down and maybe we were looking at the survival rates of infants, infant businesses in this case, in particular countries. And what we would see is that if most infants die before the age of five, then the single, because they don't get fed, right? So the single most important thing that we would need to do is feed those kids. Well, similarly, most businesses die before they hit year five. And so the thing is that your priorities as a business, to round out the analogy, in your first 5 years, your main priority is to generate sales. If you take care of sales, all of those other things will be taken care of. And you cannot get superior at, you know, two things at once. And so I would say pick a channel that comes naturally to you, generate revenue, and then you can hire out the syndication of your content to all other channels. So if you're not a great graphics kind of gal, don't worry about Instagram. But if you're a really great conversationalist, just get really good at podcasting. And then when you generate enough revenue from that, then you can pay someone to distribute your content or market for you on all those other channels. So that's a way of us doing what we all tend to want to do, which is have our cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think that brings up a good point of the whole superhero syndrome, because it's not important for you to know everything.
Absolutely.
Or to be good at everything. Like, and, you know, play to your strengths, find the medium, find the channel where you are able to develop your leads and generate revenue. And then, like you said, give the rest out to people who know what they're doing.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, like, unless you have a business that operates without you, then actually you don't really have a business, right? You have a job, right? Because a business is an entity, a system that runs independent of the owner. And so if you are sitting there and you feel kind of anxious about, not building up your Twitter following or your Instagram following or your Pinterest following, and you're trying to do it all, you have to realize that, well, if you really want a business, like, you never will be able to do it all. So just start with the channel that comes as a natural strength for you. Get really good at it, generate revenue, and then there's money to hire out people who are far better than you are at marketing you across all those channels.
I love that. Awesome. Let's talk about some lead generation techniques. Tell me, so yes, business, and I completely agree with that, because that's what I did in my prior life when I owned a retail store, was to make it automated, right? So that I don't have to be there and the business is running. And that's what I really love about entrepreneurship, because when you have the system, build it out and it works. Let's talk about some lead generation and maybe lead conversion automation techniques.
Great. Well, I'm a big fan of, if we just, you know, revisit the concept of the fact that if your business is doing less than $10 million a year, and certainly less than $1 million a year, then your number one task is to become professional at generating revenue, right? And so if you want to be a professional at anything, you have to practice. So I'm a really big fan of becoming good at one great paid promotion or visibility or lead generation strategy, and one free or earned, okay, lead generation strategy. So initially in my career, I had joined LinkedIn before it even had a million members. Now I believe it has like 200 and something million. So that should give you some insight on how long I've been using LinkedIn. I didn't spend a lot of time on Twitter. I didn't spend a lot of time on Facebook, but I just got really good in learning how to use that social media channel. And then I decided that I really loved, because I studied at Sweden's Royal Institute of Technology, and so I had a technology background. And so it was really easy for me to develop a love affair, if you will, with online advertising or paid media. Some call it programmatic media buying. And so I would say that the benefit of paid media is that you can go out and buy awareness. Like, you can buy visibility, right? The thing is that if you write a great blog post, it's not scalable, because you have no idea if that same blog post that was 1,000 words long and brought you 30,000 visitors, if you go out and do the exact same, you know, 1,000 word blog post, you have no idea if it's going to generate the same amount of visibility. And so there's this dance where you don't quite know if you can repeat your results. And so we have a system, an algorithm, a patent-pending technology that we call CRISP, which just stands for Controllable, Repeatable, Scalable, Predictable Lead and Customer Acquisition. And it's really based on three core pillars. Pillar number one is the paid media component, right? So when you get really good at buying traffic from Facebook or Twitter or YouTube ads, then you don't have to guess. You know, you pay your money, you get your traffic, right? You're going to get somebody to your site. Then the second pillar is all about really understanding customer data, understanding that if you get 100 people to your website, maybe only two of them are ready to buy now. And you want to start off by spending as much time as possible, really focus on delivering a message to those two people, okay? And then the third pillar is about sales automation software, which is the follow-up. Most businesses don't follow up. They don't send follow-up emails. They don't send follow-up phone calls. A lot of it is emotional, because we don't like the rejection of what feels like people saying no. And so if someone's listening on a call, I would ask them now, like, do you follow up at least seven times with everyone who visit your blog or gets on your email list? Chances are, if you're not, you're leaving a lot of money on the table. So folks can walk away understanding that you need to have one paid source of traffic, okay? And then you need to have one earned source of traffic, whether it's speaking engagements or being a blog post writer, or whether it's being a podcast host. It doesn't matter. There's a list of 100 different ways of generating awareness through earned media. Mm-hmm. Pick the one that really plays to your strengths and then get good at those too. And that is enough. That absolutely is enough. People who have at least one really great paid media and one really good earned media source of generating leads and then eventually, we can talk about that later, converting those mm-hmm. leads to sales, they're going to get the results that we want. You asked about lead generation, so I just wanted to start with that. But you also have mm-hmm. some questions about lead conversions, and it's definitely one tip that we can share as well.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Well, the biggest thing is to understand that sales is really a conversation, right? So the thing is that most of us don't view sales as a conversation. Even the psychology of selling is one that leaves most of us, and particularly women entrepreneurs, woefully lacking. So if we begin to think about sales as a matchmaking conversation, as opposed to a I'm going to convince you to buy something that you don't need conversation, then we'll lose all of the angst that tends to go, right? And think about it, too. Even in society, like, who was sat down as a kid and your mom or your dad was like, honey, when you grow up, I want you to be the world's best saleswoman, right? Like, sales mm-hmm. is almost kind of slimy, right? Like,
right.
Yeah, exactly. So we're already socialized for whatever reason to not really like sales. And so if mm-hmm. you begin to think of a sales conversation as a conversation with someone else where you are going to decide if you want to do business with them, that's far more empowering, right? Because we all have mm-hmm. the even when your business is just starting off, you have the power to say yes or no. And I would recommend, that everybody fire a customer or client at least once. Why? Because, like, when you do that, like, when you decide that you're either going to not work with someone because you don't like doing business with them, or they're stressing you out and you don't need their money as much as you need your well-being, and then you do that, and then you eventually go on and find another client or customer, you're going to feel so empowered. You're really going to see that, wow, like, I can do this. I mean, the first time, I fired a client, and it was a, significant amount of revenue. And eventually, we got over it as a business. I never was the same entrepreneur because I realized that I didn't have to accept everybody's money. And I realized it was my business whose money I decided to accept. And so I would say that when you start seeing sales as a conversation, a matchmaking conversation, where you're going to decide who you want to do business with and you're going to decide whom you want to serve, then all the emotional stuff around sales will dissipate. And the second thing is understanding sales is about having a conversation where you present hardcore evidence to the listener as to why your product or service is better than all the other products or services out there. You see, if we look upon every sales conversation as having a very specific end goal, which is I have someone in front of me and ultimately they want to make their life better. And so they actually have three options. They can continue to buy their current situation, which is to do what they're doing, the status quo. They can buy a solution from my competitor, or they can buy a solution from me. What do I have to say to this person so they choose door number three? If every conversation, if every piece of content, if all of our communication with our audience is really about helping them understand why they have to start saying no to the status quo, why your product for the right person is better than a competitor's product, and why they have to choose you because it really is the only logical option, people are going to be wildly surprised with their results. And most people don't really understand, a sales conversation has an end goal, and that's the end goal. So I hope that adds some insight.
Absolutely. I think that's a lot. And the number one thing is go fire a client.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And understand why your prospect should choose you. Ask yourself this question. If somebody awakens me in the middle of the night and asks me the question, why should I buy your product? Do you have a well-scripted answer? Like three mm-hmm. reasons, right? In fact, if people could walk away just making a date with themselves and saying that, I am going to make sure in the next week I sit down and I either ask my customers why they chose me or I just brainstorm. And I'm going to have these three core messages, three core reasons in every piece of content that I put out on the internet. At some point, I'm just going to remind people those three reasons why they should choose our product to solve their problems. They're just going to be so utterly and wonderfully happy with the end result because most people mm-hmm. don't do that.
Right, absolutely. I think those are some amazing, amazing insights and takeaways. I think follow-up, first of all, is so important. I myself have talked to some amazing people who've agreed to come on our podcast just through follow-up. Maybe the first email, the second email went through the cracks, and then it's the third email when they reply back and they're like, oh, you know what? I'm so sorry and I missed it.
Sure.
So I think follow-up is super important. That's really golden. And of course, one-sided conversations never turn into anything, right?
Absolutely.
You can't sell to yourself. You have to have a conversation with somebody else to be able to understand what their needs are so you're able to sell to them. I think that it works in everything, even social media, right? How much are you going to keep putting content out there without getting people to respond to you?
Absolutely. And,
so,
and you know, most entrepreneurs don't really sit down and ask themselves the single most important question in sales, which is how can I get people to say yes, right? Well,
right.
Why? Like, people need to have very specific reasons why. And if chances are, if you don't know why someone should choose you, I guarantee you all those people that you've been trying to sell to over the past month or year or 10 years, mm-hmm. they don't know as well. So if you don't know why someone else should say yes, how would your clients know? That's the problem. That's why you're not getting the sales that you want, because you haven't communicated why someone should choose you.
I love that. I love that. That's right. So I think that's the one homework we need to give to everybody today is go and figure out what is your USP. What is it that makes you different, and why should people buy your product?
Absolutely.
Right?
And here's a little tool I can just tell you really quickly for the benefit of your audience. So I'm guessing that everybody loves podcasts like you and I, but the challenge with any content is that, okay, I've got these great ideas. Well, how do I put them into action? So this is one thing that I do. First of all, it's called automation. So I would recommend people check out a tool. There are a couple of different ones. One tool is called KISReminder.com. So it's K as in kiss, I-S, reminder.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Another one is called Follow Up Then. So follow, UPTHEN.com. I don't know these founders. I don't get anything from it. A third tool is Google Calendar, right? And what you want to do is you want to set, I call it execution automation, right? So the whole idea is that we all get busy, right? We listen to these great podcasts, we get inspired, and then life happens and we don't execute. And so if you use either kissreminder.com or Follow Up Zen or Google Calendar, you can simply go to google.com/calendar. And what I do is when I hear something great that I want to execute, I just set a date with myself, and I have it I set it so that I'm reminded every day. And I just say, okay, take 10 minutes a day and go and execute what you heard on the Womanpreneur podcast, or go and execute what you learned on the HBR video that you watched. So if we can just tell people to take action, you know, a simple, you're going to get results when you take action. And the simple act of just using one of those tools and deciding that you are going to act on one of these tips is really going to get you results. It's going to be so transformative to you. So I'm delighted by all the emails that you're probably going to get back to people when just a few of them take action on these ideas and they get.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. And thank you so much for those resources. And, you know, and the same goes for even books.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes I tend to, you know, I love to read, and I'll read business books, and I'm thinking, and I'll make sticky notes, and I'm writing to myself, and I'm saying, okay, I'm going to do this. This is a wonderful idea. And then I probably execute maybe less than 10% of what I've written, right? And I think that is so true, and that totally applies to me, because I'm going to start making a date with myself where I sit down and say, hey, okay, this is what I'm going to execute today. And that's the only way to really get of all that information overload that we're getting to be able to execute it.
Yeah, and I'm just so excited by that little tip, because I myself, you know, they say wisdom is when you follow your own advice. And so really at the beginning of the year, I started getting serious with that. And eventually, for the more advanced listeners, you'll be able to hire someone, and their job will be to execute your vision, right? Because you, as the entrepreneur who is a founder, your job is to go out, to read the books, to interact, to connect with leaders, to set the vision, to get the strategy, and then you hand it off to someone to execute. So eventually, you'll be in a position where even if you just hire out somebody for 5 hours a week, whose job it is to take to all of the great strategies that you've come across and execute them, mm-hmm. because you can't do it, you're going to be so much further than your competitors, because they're going to be spending all their time reading, trying to execute it right. all, and you're going to be spending all your time delegating, executing something yep. else.
Actually doing the work.
Exactly.
Yes. I love that. I love that idea. And I know we're running out of time, but I do want to ask you really quick, if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur one piece of advice, what would it be?
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, if it's possible for you to buy a business versus build one, for the love of God, look into it, right?
And really?
Here's why. Because mm-hmm. we have to make decisions based on the facts. And the facts are that, whether it's the SBA stats or Forbes stats, 90% of businesses fail in the first 5 years, new businesses, yes. okay? And yes. 80% of them fail in the first 10 years. And so most people who become an entrepreneur are going to fail. Now, the thing is that you have to look at the people who don't fail, okay? And the challenge for most people is that they try to build a business that sells something that people don't want, or they don't know how to sell, or they're not good at hiring employees. Well, think about all the things that you need for a business to thrive. You need employees, you need customers, you need real estate, you need a domain name, you need a brand. If you bought a business, then you'd buy all of those things. And these days, it's a lot easier to buy a business, okay, for the price of a car that already has all those things, and then to build your vision on top of that. And the rate of businesses that are around in 5 or 10 years that were built that way versus starting from scratch, I would really, I really recommend people thinking about, even if they can't buy a whole business, to think about even buying, let's say, the customer list of a business going out of sale, or the domain name, or the website. So beyond a shadow of a doubt, thinking about buying up versus starting up.
Wow, that's very interesting. I think when we think about entrepreneurs, we're always thinking from scratch, mm-hmm. right? That's a very different way of thinking. Interesting. And you're right, because you tend to get so much right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
When you buy a business, you're buying what most entrepreneurs basically suck at, which is sales, right?
Right.
Businesses
right.
that don't suck at. Think about it.
Exactly. And what entrepreneurs do for the first 2 years,
exactly.
right? They're building the business, and you're probably gaining 2 years.
You're probably gaining even more than 2 years. You're
right, right, so. Right. Interesting. Sounds good. Thank you, Sheila, for that. And are you ready to jump into our lightning round?
I am ready. I just hope I don't get struck, so.
Oh, no. It's going to be fun. This is where we get to know you better.
Awesome.
Great. So what trophy would you want on your mantle?
Wildest dream maker.
Ooh, nice. I like that. What is your guilty pleasure? Sorry?
Business and personal. My guilty pleasure is doting men.
Nice. And what are you currently reading?
I am currently reading Living the 80-20 Way by Richard Koch. I'm currently on my 20th reading.
Wow.
Yep.
I need to get that book. I haven't gotten that yet. Yep. Okay. And what is your one productivity hack?
Using Google Docs in coordination with Google Forms. And I have a list of things that I need done every day. And what happens is that I'm sent a reminder through Google Calendar. And then I click on the Google form and I just check out what I've done. So it's really nice. Easy.
Nice. Awesome. And what is your personal motto?
My personal motto is to have the things that most people don't have. You need to be willing to do the things that most people won't do.
Yeah, that's right. And what would you do different if you were given another chance?
We just talked about that. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, buying a business.
Yeah.
Buying a profitable business, I should say.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sheila. That was really fun.
I had a wonderful time. Thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely. And tell us, before you leave, what is the best way to reach you?
By all means, feel free to reach out to me through LinkedIn. You can just, I'm sure we'll have links to my profile.
Yes.
And I respond to people. It may take a day or two, but I happily respond to people. So reach out to me on LinkedIn. And if you're finding yourself wanting to really get serious about sales automation, then you can go to convertport.com and we can set you up with a trial and you can see if it's a good fit for you. If it's a good fit, great. We'd love to have you as part of our community. And if it isn't, then you just have a trial period where you play around with the software and there's no cost to you.
I love that. And before you go, can I hit you with another question?
Please, by all means.
Okay, because it was in my mind, and then we talked about LinkedIn. Tell me, you've been on LinkedIn forever. Do you have any really quick tips for our audience to convert LinkedIn to leads?
Right. Well, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I would say, first of all, you need to make a plan for yourself to reach out to your contacts. Either it can be a weekly plan. So if you decide that you're going to reach out to your contacts once a week, that would be 52 touches in a year, right? Because there are 52 weeks in a year. So what I would do is make a plan to reach out to my contacts, send them a link to, let's say, a webinar that you're going to do. I'm a big fan of a webinar or a teleseminar. And then once you invite them to, let's say, a workshop you're going to do, then they'll get on your contact list and then you can follow up with them.
Interesting. Okay. I like that. Thank you so much for that last piece of golden nugget.
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you, Shola.
That was Shola Abidoy, and I hope you all had a lot of fun and learned a lot from her today. I certainly did. You can link up with her on LinkedIn, and all the links will also be on the show notes on the website. Please don't forget to subscribe and rate and review, and if you know someone who will make a great fit on the show, email me at smita@womanpreneursuccess.com. And if you love our show, please share it with your friends. Don't forget to link up with me on Twitter. I am on @TheSmitaSing and on Instagram on Womenpreneur Success. Thank you so much for letting me hang out in your earbuds today, and I will see you soon.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.